is it hot enough for you? No, really, is this summer as hot as you want summer to be? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In this hour, we will talk about the weather, and we will talk about our cooler than average July so far, and some other trends during this check-in on summer weather. We'll also take a look at the tornadoes that we saw this week in northeastern Wisconsin, the smoke that rolled in from the Canadian wildfires, and our guest will have answers to your questions about the weather. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Chad Franzen, meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau. Good morning, Chad.
Good Friday morning, Joy. How are you doing on this lovely day?
You know, I'm doing well, and welcome back from Alaska. You and I had trips to Alaska in just a couple of weeks apart from each other.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of those things that it was just kind of funny. We did the same trip, basically, just a couple of weeks after each other.
Yeah, and I had great weather in Alaska. I was prepared for, I had gloves and all these things that I was told to bring, and it was you know, sunny and 72 in Juneau, so it wasn't bad at all.
Oh, very nice. When I was in Anchorage, it was the wind was off of the ocean, basically. So it was kind of like Seattle and Anchorage, where times of clouds and sun, occasional showers, mid-60s. But we got up to Fairbanks on the slope there, and all of a sudden we were back in the 80s. And that's one thing that I guess I was aware of, but I wasn't aware of that it happened so often. Mid-80s in Fairbanks in the summertime is a pretty common occurrence.
Yeah, you know, sunny in 72 seems to be a common occurrence this summer so far in Wisconsin, too. Is it my imagination, or is it cooler than usual?
Yeah, you know, we've had the kind of ups and downs. If you think back to the month of June, it was kind of an active weather month. Not necessarily so much for severe weather, but we were having those occasional on-again, off-again showers and storms. And what that does is it kind of limits how much we're going to heat up during the day. So June was a little bit cooler than normal for most areas in Wisconsin, as we had those some areas picked up a lot of rainfall in a short period of time. July started off kind of on a cool note, but we certainly are seeing a return to the heat and humidity. Not necessarily so much today, the heat is there, but the heat and the humidity both combined will return this weekend and pretty much stay with us full force for about the next couple of weeks. So we are going to get back into some of that sweaty heat, things that the farmers are looking for to get those crops going. That returns this weekend.
You know what? I'm going to say yay, because I like it. I don't mind the humidity, and I really like it hot and sunny, and I like summer weather. So, I noticed that the forecast that we just heard Noah mention in the news does say highs today in the 80s, and that's okay with me, and it's going to stick with us for a while?
Yeah, right now it looks like today will be one of the more comfortable days because of the lower humidity values, but then we're in the 80s for almost all locations this weekend through most of next week, lower to middle 80s, and then depending on amounts of sunshine and humidity values, we may see some locations start getting a little closer to that 90-degree mark, especially southwestern Wisconsin, Prairie du Chien, La Crosse areas. They could get close to 90 as we get into the second half of the weekend. But once we start adding in this extra humidity, we haven't had these hot, humid days so much this summer. Once we start adding in that extra humidity going into the weekend, people are going to notice that kind of thing. And because we're not necessarily acclimated to it, certainly make sure you have plenty of water to drink as we go into the weekend. And, of course, please, please, please do not forget your pets. We've had some stories out of Wisconsin last month with people taking their pets to the store, and that's not what you want to be doing as we get into this hot, humid weather for the summer.
Yeah, don't leave your pets in a closed car. It just gets way, way too hot, too fast. I just talked to a guest about wineries in Wisconsin, and he grows grapes and makes wine, and he was saying that the summer so far has been okay, a growing season for grapes, but they need hotter weather to really produce. So the farmers are going to like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Now some of the berry farms across Wisconsin kind of benefited from the fact that we got a real quick return to spring earlier this year. The last couple of years, that spring has just kind of waned, but this year we had a kind of a quick return, and even though it was a little wet at times, some of the berry farms did actually open up early this year across the state. But otherwise, the crops, you know, the whole adage, the knee-high by the 4th of July, there's some areas in Wisconsin where that barely held true. So we do certainly need some of that heat to return. You know, when we get the rainfall and those thunderstorms, hopefully we don't get anything that's too strong to cause any kind of damage. But that return to heat and humidity for the next 7 to 10 days, I think that's kind of what the doctor ordered for some of those crops across the state.
Yeah, this spring, the National Weather Service predicted lower than average temperatures for June through August. In fact, it looked like it was the entire country practically was in this, you know, below normal temperature blob. Does that jive with what's happening so far, or what you see happening in the future?
Yeah, so far, I mean, that's kind of panned out. I mean, it hasn't been, you know, extremely cool by any means whatsoever, but we certainly have been a little bit below where we should be for this time of year, for the month of June, and so far for this early part of July. But that's going to start turning around here the next couple of weeks. And while July may start off on somewhat of a cool note, I think the next 2 weeks looks relatively warm, at least seasonal, and that may kind of push things back into more of that average temperature swing for July. And then we'll see what happens with August. Usually in Wisconsin, when an El Nino year is kind of kicking in, that's what's happening right now. It's kind of a 50-50 either way if the summer's going to turn out wetter or drier than normal. Obviously, El Nino, when people hear that, more so from Wisconsin, I think of the wintertime possibly being more mild. So that may be the long term. But right now, it looks like July, the middle part of it, is going to be pretty warm, and we'll wait and see what happens for August. I don't see anything that necessarily is going to cool us off anything whatsoever. But some of those long-term weather patterns certainly could change, and it's going to stay pretty active here for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, when I was out west Seattle and getting ready for the trip to Alaska, Chad, it was warmer than usual there. And I know friends in Portland were just sweating up a storm in the 90s even. And that's really unusual for that far northwestern part of the state, isn't it? Or the country?
Yeah, you know, and they do have some warm days in the Pacific Northwest, and it is very typical that it happens in June, early July, because what happens is the weather pattern, which is normally some kind of an onshore flow with the jet stream, well, the jet stream takes and pushes way up into Alaska, and so what ends up happening is there's no onshore flow. They don't get the cool effects off of the ocean. So there is a tendency for 3 or 4 or 5 week period where it does warm up, and usually it's the lower to middle 80s, but they kind of got a little bit of a bake going on where there were some 90s. Seattle was very warm. It's not very typical what happens. And then you have a lot of places out there that don't really have necessarily air conditioning. So you've got people at home in homes that maybe need air conditioning a couple times during the year, then all of a sudden for a couple weeks, here they are without air conditioning trying to cool off. And that's kind of what happened. Of course, when that jet stream pushes that far north, we get that northwest wind flow, and that's when we've had issues with all the smoke from the Canadian fires right here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, let's talk about those fires and what happened. Boy, it was, I'm trying to remember, it was Thursday morning, I think it was, where it was like smoky in at 4 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, 4:30 in the morning. It seemed hazy and smoky, and I thought, what in the world is going on? And then I remembered, oh my goodness, those fires. So that really affected our atmosphere, didn't it?
Absolutely. And then earlier this week too, we had the air quality alerts in effect from the DNR for air pollution, and it's because of what happens with all that smoke and soot and ash coming in. And so, as you mentioned, Thursday morning, even a little bit on Wednesday morning, depending on where you're at in the state, you get that haze and smoke, and you can smell it, and it just kind of sticks with you. And that's what happens when you get a northwest wind flow with forest fires, and not necessarily, you know, small fires. These are big fires going on in Canada, and that northwest wind just pushes them right into the state. Now our wind direction, because we're going to start warming up, our wind direction will turn more to the south, and that'll kind of push that smoke and haze out of the state of Wisconsin. But the fires are kind of a big deal right now in Canada, to say the least. And you got a lot of switchgrass and stuff like that that burns very easily and spreads very quickly. And a lot of parts of Canada, especially back toward Saskatchewan and British Columbia, that was a major issue. And some of the speculation is those fires may go all the way through fall, depending on the weather conditions. So that's a big deal for Canada right now. And anytime we tap into northwest wind flow, we're going to have that smoke and haze return to the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, sorry for what's happening there, but on the plus side, those sunsets were outstanding. I mean, did you see those red heat sunsets?
you get that those little particulates in the air and the particles in the air, and kind of bends the spectrum a little bit, and you do get some very vivid sunset, sunrise displays at the cost, unfortunately, of what's going on in Canada.
We are talking with Chad Franzen, meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau. Do you have any questions about recent weather trends or maybe a look long-term talking about the Canadian wildfires and their effect on our atmosphere here? We're talking about the cooler than normal temperatures so far, but it looks like we're going to see some more summer-like weather coming up this weekend and beyond. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Keep a clean nose, wash your plain clothes. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows.
We do need a weatherman to tell us which way the wind blows and what the weather is going to be like this coming week and beyond. We are doing our seasonal weather show with Chad Franzen, a meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau, and we're welcoming your weather-related questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Dean Show. So, Chad, normally during that break, I give the weather forecast, but I thought I would, as I usually do, give you the honors. What's the weather forecast for today and this weekend?
You're double dipping on me today.
Yes.
I'm still looking at some warmer weather coming up for the upcoming weekend. Now, today's high is mostly in the low 80s. It will be a little cooler near the Lake Michigan shoreline. Dew point value, humidity value is pretty comfortable for today. And then we start seeing our temperatures slowly increase. Lower to middle 80s, Saturday and Sunday. Humidity values on the increase as well. A few thunderstorms are possible Saturday, mainly toward the late afternoon hours. And then Sunday we'll have to kind of watch, especially southwestern Wisconsin. We could have some stronger thunder boomers, and those would be mainly Sunday late afternoon. Still looking at active weather Monday and Tuesday. Showers and storms Monday. Tuesday will start clearing out a little bit, but those high temperatures primarily stay in the lower 80s. And that's about where we should be for this time of year.
All right. And from what you're seeing on the maps, it looks like warmer, more summer-like weather is going to stick with us for more than this weekend.
Yeah, it looks like at least long-term right now, 7 to 10 days out, still looks like mostly the 80s next week. There may be a few upper 70s Tuesday, Wednesday in a few locales, especially farther north, but otherwise, it looks like lower to middle 80s returning pretty quickly toward the end of next week. And again, depending on sunshine and how much we get, some of these locations in southwestern Wisconsin that get a little closer to 90 degrees, we may see a few 90s pop up Sunday, and then again toward the end of next week. So even though it's been kind of a cool start to the month of July, things are going to turn around very quickly. And that's going to start with today, and then tomorrow, that's when the extra humidity kicks in as well.
All right, Chad, time for the meteorology lesson here, the science lesson. What causes thunder boomers?
Oh, got to have all the ingredients come together to just make it just right. But basically, we usually, especially if we're talking about severe weather, we're talking clashes of the air mass. So very traditionally, you want some kind of a southwest or south wind flow. They're bringing some of the higher humidity values. That's some of the ingredients needed for thunderstorms. And they need something to kick off the mechanism to get those things to go. And usually that's an approaching front. And more times than not, in the summertime, that's a cold front. As we get into that Saturday-Sunday time frame, it's just kind of a couple little waves that we can push through Wisconsin. But you have a couple days of heat and humidity, and that's where we see those repeated chances for showers and storms. And again, on Sunday, southwestern Wisconsin could see some stronger storms by the late afternoon. But some of the ingredients, got to have a little heat and humidity, got to have some kind of a mechanism to kick those off, and usually some upper-level support, some wind, and that usually occurs at the jet stream level.
Yeah, let me we'll talk about tornadoes and the tornadoes that that hit Wisconsin earlier this week in just a moment, but we have a question first from Melinda in De Pere. Hi, Melinda.
Morning, Melinda.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Good morning. My question is, I travel a lot around Wisconsin photographing historical sites and markers, and then I camp while I'm traveling. And I obviously want to make sure that I have nice weather for the photographs. And I get really confused. I use the Weather Channel to get my weather forecast. And it'll say, for example, I got a trip planned to the Eau Claire area, and I've been watching the weather for about 10 days, and it's been fluctuating between the percentage of possibility of scattered thunderstorms. And I wonder how do I even understand what scattered thunderstorms mean? Is that something that I should be cautious about, thunderstorms, because I am outside? And also, what does 40% mean? Does it mean the whole area is going to be cloudy the whole time? It's just, I haven't been able to figure out the pattern. I'm not a native of Wisconsin. I've only been here 4 years, so it was kind of like some insight on that. And I just wanted to add one thing. When I left the pier this morning, the smell from the smoke was very strong. It was quite strong in the pier.
Oh.
I'm on the boat right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm on my way to Bing County. Yeah, so just want to add that as a side note. So, yes, if you could give me insight on how to read the prediction, that would be great.
All right, so when we see, you know, a 40% chance of scattered thunderstorms, Chad, what does that mean?
All right, so there's terminology when they talk about storms. You're going to hear about isolated, scattered, and then likely. When you hear those terms, that's used by the Weather Service, and pretty much all the media outlets are kind of using that. Scattered is more of that 50-50% kind of range, 40. In this case, she said 40%. So that 40, 50, 60% chance of showers and storms, that would be kind of called scattered. Isolated is more of that 20, 30% chance. And then when they say likely, that means 70 to 100% chance of showers and storms. So that's kind of it's a loose guideline, but that's kind of the guideline for thunderstorms. So if you hear isolated thunderstorms, that means small chance. If you hear showers and storms, likely means a good chance. So having said that, when you talk about probability of precipitation, and they give a percent number, it's actually a lot of people don't think of it as the Weather Service the way they think of it. It's the percentage chance of one dot on the landscape of being hit by a thunderstorm at any point in that 24-hour window. So loosely, most people associate it with, I live in, let's say, Dane County. There's a 30% chance of showers and storms. Most people attribute it to 70% of the county is not going to see anything, 30% of the county is. And that's not necessarily how the Weather Service looks at it, but that's what that means, is there's a percent chance of any place within that forecast area of getting showers and storms. So it just, you know, when it wavers back and forth, as Belinda mentioned, you know, she's been watching the weather for 10 days, and it's going from 20% chance to 90 and back to 30, back to 60, now it's at 40. It's because the weather systems that are coming in, it's really hard for our computer model forecasting to predict thunderstorms to a T as an absolute. What happens is the computer models actually predict the conditions for thunderstorms to develop, and those are very hard things to do. So that's why those percentages, number-wise, have fluctuated so much for in the last 10 days. That's very typical what happens in the summertime. Wintertime, it kind of happens like that, but computer models pick up winter-type systems pretty easily compared to thunderstorms because there's no conditions that have to form to make thunderstorms usually in the wintertime. Usually it's just a synoptic scale-type storm that the models pick up and predict. So that's why it's a little different in the summertime and why you hear, you know, one day it's 20% chance, the next day it's 60%. And it's because the computer model is trying to predict a percentage chance of a storm to develop.
Yeah. Chad, why would there just be an isolated chance in terms of, well, I guess I'm thinking when I and you just explained it better than I probably understood it, but when I hear isolated, I think that a thunderstorm might pop up here, but not there.
Yeah, you know, when you hear isolated, what happens is you're usually on the fringe somewhere of some kind of mechanism that's triggering storms. So, for instance, if you're going through this weekend, there will be certain chances of storms that are better off geographically in the state versus others. So when you hear that isolated chance, usually you're kind of a little bit away from the triggering mechanism, a front of some sort, and that's where you get that 20, 30% chance because at that point there's nothing that's going to kick that thing off to make it happen. On the flip side of that, when you're closer to these fronts rolling through the state of Wisconsin, then you see the increased chance of the showers and storms. It's going to go from, maybe 30% away from that front to 70, 80, 90% near a front moving into the state where we have all the conditions in place, warm and humid air, some upper level support at the jet stream level or just a little below that. So that's why things kind of change a little bit in the summertime. But again, computer models are trying to predict something by using all the ingredients. It's like making your favorite cake, and you got to have the exact amount of everything. If one thing is missing, those storms aren't going to happen, and your cake may fall.
Yes.
So that's kind of how it works.
So if Melinda, I'm going to specifically, is on her way to Eau Claire right now from De Pere, and she's, I'm just making this up. Let's say she wanted to take photographs of these historical sites, and she wants it to be sunny and blue skies and pretty. If it's 40% chance of scattered thunderstorms, does that mean that it's going to be a cloudy day, or could it be sunny for a good part of the day, but only if those thunderstorms materialize will it turn cloudy?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time that's what ends up happening. You start a day in summer Wisconsin, you start the day with sunshine, clouds build throughout the day, and then you get those storm chances. Now, sometimes when we have these big storms that kick off the night before in the Dakotas and Minnesota, you get kind of that wash that comes through in the morning where you get the thunderstorms, but left in its wake is a lot of cloud cover. And we saw that a little bit on Monday, which was a very limiting factor for our severe weather chance, except for in the eastern part of the state. So Monday morning, we had all that cloud cover. The atmosphere had a tough time recharging, but there was a cold front that came through in the middle of the afternoon in east central Wisconsin. That is why there was those severe storms that happened in east central Wisconsin, as opposed to northwestern Wisconsin, where you had river falls pick up 7, almost 8 inches of rainfall in a very short period of time. So if you have those storms that come through the night before and kind of leave it swash, as I call it, then it's going to be a cloudy day. But most of the time, Wisconsin, you start a day like today, lots of sunshine, clouds build in the afternoon. And then if the ingredients are right, then you get those thunderstorms late afternoon into the evening.
We are talking with Chad Franzen, meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau. We usually talk to Chad once every 3 months or so about seasonal weather, and it's time to talk about our summer weather. And we're wondering if you have thoughts or questions or gripes about the weather. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Are you happy with the cooler than usual weather that we have been having so far this summer, or are you looking forward to the 80s that are going to be with us this weekend and through next week? Looks like warmer, hotter weather is here to stay for a little while. Are you happy about that or not? Chad, let's talk about those tornadoes that hit east central Wisconsin in the Shawano area. 4 tornadoes on Monday night. A meteorologist in the area also said they were unusual because they were not associated with lightning. Why is that weird?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is when the tornadoes first happened, so that was part of our broadcast area, so we're watching these storms, and we knew if anything was going to happen, it was probably going to be at least in the southeastern half of Wisconsin, just because of what had happened that morning with all the heavy rainfall, limiting factors and heat and humidity at that point to return to some daytime heating. But then as that front started pushing through central Wisconsin, we start getting these small little low-top supercell thunderstorms, some of the tops maybe 30,000, 35,000 feet. You get those on occasion in Wisconsin, but having them produce tornadic-type things, that's even rarer. And then, as you mentioned, there was a lack of electrical activity. At one point when we were on the air with our broadcast coverage of what was going on, I had to double-check the radar system to make sure that was actually ingesting the lightning detection that we pay for, and there was nothing there. That's not to say there wasn't rumbles of thunder and there wasn't any lightning, but the lightning detection network never picked anything up. So you're talking about a storm that didn't have a whole lot of electrical activity with it, and it wasn't a very tall storm, and didn't have a whole lot of ingredients and moisture to work with, but yet when that front came through just at the right time, we had those spin-ups. And from what I saw from the National Weather Service, they did revise it late last night to 3 tornadoes now, and I haven't had a chance to see which one they are saying was the fourth, but it certainly was an active area. Waupaca County, Shawano County, Oconee County, Gillette, back through a little town of Cecil in Shawnee County, and then obviously a lot of the pictures you saw from Marion, Wisconsin, in Waupaca County, ran that line there to the border. So that's where we had those three tornadoes, and that puts us at 9 total so far this year in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and how does that stack up? Is this a typical year for tornadoes?
Well, thankfully, it's kind of been slow. On average, Wisconsin has 24 tornadoes per year, and for the most part, tornadoes technically can happen pretty much in any month of Wisconsin. As we go into the season, obviously, July, late June, July, August are kind of the sweet spot time frame. But 9 out of 24 so far, and hopefully not adding much to it, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And we've been lucky that a lot of these tornadoes haven't been anything very strong, DF0, DF1. And while there has been damage, we haven't seen the huge catastrophic damage from tornadoes like we have in years past, and also like different parts of the country. So it's been a little slow, and I think for the most part, people are probably happy with that. Yeah. There's nothing worse than having to go through and do storm cleanup, and that's what's going on today still in Waupaca, Shawnee, and O'Connell counties as they clean up from those storms.
Yeah, that's right. It's sorry for what they're going through, but it is a good thing that they're below average. A tornado or severe thunderstorm safety advice?
You know, that's the one thing is we get into the summertime, everybody's traveling. Everybody has some kind of a vacation or traveling and outdoors. And that's the bigger thing is with a lot of new technology, a lot of people, in fact, there are communities such as Anago, they're getting rid of tornado sirens and just letting technology take over. You know, so obviously we always say take some kind of a media outlet with you. Cell phones are great because a lot of people have text that they get text for free and it's part of their cell plan. And almost every media in your area in Wisconsin will offer those severe weather alert text alerts. But keep in mind, when you travel, you got to know what county you're in to begin with, so always know where that is. And if you're going to travel, let's say you sign up for text alerts in Dane County and you're traveling up to Brown County in Green Bay, if you're not subscribed to those, you're not necessarily going to get those alerts, depending on the cell phone provider. Some of the providers now automatically will kick in those EAF alerts. But cell phones are only as good as their reception. A lot of people like to go to the Northwoods. There's some areas that don't get cell reception. So that's why we still say take the tried and true method of taking a NOAA weather radio, because 9 times out of 10, that's going to have a better reception than a cell phone.
Let's take a call before our news break. Eric in Oshkosh. Hi, Eric.
Hello. I was a weather observer in the Air Force. And so since I moved here about 8 years ago, I've been watching the weather pretty closely on the radar and stuff. And I've noticed that thunderstorms and snowstorms seem to like split in half and go around Oshkosh, no matter what direction they're coming from. And I was wondering if there was some sort of, if maybe Lake Winnebago or some other orographic, effect was taking place to make that happen, or is it just my imagination?
Yeah, we have just a minute before the newscast, Chad. Is there something funny going on in Oshkosh?
As Eric alluded to, certainly Lake Winnebago will cause some micro-scale effects from meteorology from the lake itself. It's just like having a Great Lake next to it. So when you have Winnebago trying to warm up and it's a little cooler in surroundings, that certainly could have an effect on those storms as they approach the area. We do have that happen with some of the bigger lakes in Wisconsin where you get a little bit of some of the effects because of the micro-scale climate. We have it every winter with Red Mountain Ski Park in the Wausau area. You get the little bit of some snow being produced on the mountain, and it rolls back across the city, and all of a sudden you end up with clear skies and snow falling.
We are talking with Chad Franzen, meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau, about the weather and the weather so far this summer. Talking about storms and tornadoes and cooler than average temperatures so far, but the change that is also on the way, and welcoming your questions. Any weather-related questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
It's summertime, summertime, some, summertime, 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 some, summertime, 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 some, summertime,
summertime, summertime, some, summertime, summertime.
Well, shut them.
This is our summertime weather show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have invited meteorologist Chad Franzen to join us to talk about the short and longer term forecast for Wisconsin and to answer all of your weather-related questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Okay, Chad, once again, I did not give the weather forecast because I let the professionals do it when I have them on board.
Well, today it looks like a lot of sunshine to begin the day with, and then eventually some of the clouds will start building for the afternoon. Humidity value is still a little low today, so pretty comfortable out there. Most highs this afternoon in the lower 80s. It will be slightly cooler near the Lake Michigan shoreline until that wind turns around more to the south throughout the afternoon. Then going into the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, high temperatures return to the lower to middle 80s. You're going to get some extra heat and humidity added back into the air, and that will help set the stage for some thunderstorms by Saturday late in the afternoon, especially in western Wisconsin, and then a pretty good chance for showers and storms by Sunday by the early evening hours. And Sunday we'll be watching, especially southwestern Wisconsin, on the lookout for some stronger thunderstorms, and that would be basically south of Eau Claire near La Crosse back to Prairie du Chien. Madison may be on the verge of that as well, so we'll be watching for some stronger storms Sunday. And then thunderstorms heading back to work on Monday. And temperatures end near 80. And we'll start seeing the heat and humidity return again middle of next week. Should see some middle 80s. And depending on the amount of sunshine, areas like Prairie du Chien, La Crosse could see some 90s as we get into next week.
Yeah. And you mentioned, Chad, that River Falls saw 7 to 8 inches of rain with those storms that produced tornadoes in northeastern Wisconsin last week. That's a lot of rain.
A lot of rain in a short period of time. And, you know, when we started seeing these rainfall amounts and Doppler estimates come out, it was early, you know, it was late Sunday night, early Monday morning, and this rain is just piling up. And it's like there's no way. The Doppler estimates have to be off. We're starting to see 8 to 9 inch totals. And then the weather observers start calling in with their totals, and all of a sudden you realize, yeah, that most of that area back in northwestern Wisconsin, 5 to 8 inches of rainfall, River Falls was just over 7 inches. And that was in a short period of time. But I tell you, for how much rain fell and for what little reports of damage and flooding we did end up getting, it's pretty impressive. So the moisture basically kind of soaked in the soil and probably hit in some of the areas just right. There was some flooding, but we're talking 7 to 8 inches of rain in less than 12 hours. That's usually a big deal in Wisconsin. And while it was, it just didn't have a whole lot of damage and a lot of flooding. There were certainly some flood basins, but wasn't as bad as it could have been, so that was at least some good news. Then it was the same thunderstorm complex, the same mechanism, the cold front rolled through east central Wisconsin, and just before, or just actually after 5 o'clock, 5:03, if I remember right, during our 5 o'clock newscast, boom, tornado warning started popping for Waupaca, then Shawano, then Oconomowoc.
Yeah. So what's Wisconsin like when it comes to the drought? What's our precipitation been like?
Yeah, you know, when the drought monitor comes out, they have things like abnormally dry through moderate drought and all that stuff. There were still some areas of Wisconsin, the latest drought monitor, that were still considered abnormally dry, which is like the first shading below average. But, you know, Wisconsin with these on-again, off-again shower and thunderstorm chances for most of June, early July, except for this week, it's been okay so far. I mean, you know, certainly like this stretch of weather we've had this week, depending on your point of view, we probably would want another chance for shower or storm after being dry Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and into today. But for people that work outdoors, that play outdoors, that have to think that living outdoors in the dry weather, this week has been pretty comfortable. It's been very nice. Lower humidity values, daytime highs, 70s, and now today maybe a few low 80s. And then we even had some record lows set on Wednesday morning with 30s in the Northwoods. So it's been a little cool at times in the north this week. And then all of a sudden we make that transition. Now we've got typical summer Wisconsin weather on the way, 80s, heat, humidity, and it looks to stay with us for a good 7 to 10 days.
Ellie in Jefferson is with us with a question. Hi, Ellie.
Hi. What's the difference between partly cloudy And partly sunny skies.
Yeah, good question. If I want more sun, which one do I want, Chad?
Well, it depends on your point of view. Thanks for the call, Ellie. Now, old school meteorologists would say partly cloudy and partly sunny are basically the same thing. The National Weather Service has kind of transitioned into partly cloudy is used at night, partly sunny is used in the day. And it basically means 50% clouds, 50% clear skies. I'm still the old school meteorologist. I guess that shows my age because I call it partly cloudy in the summer. And then I use partly sunny when I think there'll be a little less sunshine for the day as opposed to a partly cloudy would be a little 50-50 mix. But it's just kind of the weather person's terminology. If you hear partly cloudy at night and partly sunny during the day, that's probably what your meteorologist is probably saying, 50% clouds, 50% clear skies. And again, some of the newer terms, partly cloudy is only used at night, partly sunny is only used during the day. Some of us old school guys don't quite do it that way yet.
Thanks, Ellie. Ron in Iola, I think, has a quick question. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I grew up in Janesville, Wisconsin, along the Illinois border, and it seems that the Illinois border counties get a lot of severe weather. Are we considered in the upper portion of Tornado Alley, or is that more south of us? I guess I don't know what the boundaries are of Tornado Alley.
Sure, Ron. Thanks for the call. Tornado Alley is, I don't want to say it's this mythical thing, because it depends on who draws the borders, to be honest with you, but it's generally thought to be extreme southern Minnesota all the way through Texas and then spreads east and westward. And Tornado Alley goes through Iowa and parts of Illinois, and certainly some areas southwestern Wisconsin most of the time is considered part of that. And again, it just depends on who draws it. I know the Storm Prediction Center has their map, but then the National Weather Service has a slightly different map. But it's just generally a thought of an area from extreme southern Minnesota due southward, and then there's that east to west play. And certainly the extreme southwestern Wisconsin and a good portion of Illinois is considered part of that. And then all the way through Iowa, Missouri, especially Kansas, obviously, Oklahoma, Texas, and down into Louisiana is pretty much that Tornado Alley, so to speak.
So, Ron, are you taking part in the Iola Car Show this weekend?
Every year.
That's what I figured. And, hey, Chad, aren't you going up to Hodag Festival in Rhinelander?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be at the Iola Car Show later today and then out to Hodag later tonight. And then kind of back on down through. And I guess that's one thing, you know, with these outdoor festivities going on, and we talked about it briefly, just pay attention to the weather where you are. Obviously, when you go into these, the car show's a little differently. You're not putting 100,000 people in. But when you get into some of these outdoor music festivals, that's kind of pay attention a little bit what's going on with the weather because, you know, a lot of the times people are in tents and camping. And if you get some stronger storms, that's not the place to be. But certainly a lot of things going on in Wisconsin this weekend and pretty much every weekend from here on out for the rest of summer, for that matter.
Yeah. There is a massive El Nino growing in California, according to a story on USA Today. There's growing evidence that California could see an even stronger El Nino event this winter than the 1997 one that apparently caused all sorts of issues. Ryan, in an email, wonders about the likelihood of a strong El Nino forming in the Pacific and its effects for late summer and winter in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, it's been strengthening slowly. And the thing about this El Nino is it's kind of showing up early. Normally, you start seeing this abnormally warm waters of the Pacific start showing up on satellite imagery as we get into late July, August, September. Well, this year it started kind of showing up at the last part of May. All of a sudden, you start seeing this abnormal warming of the water. So what will happen is in Wisconsin, traditionally more times than not, when an El Nino winter hits, you usually end up with milder than normal conditions. Instead of your average highs in parts of Wisconsin, lower to middle 20s in January, they may be more like the upper 20s to lower 30s. Now, having said that, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a less snowy than normal winter. Because when you do have warmer temperatures than normal, upper 20s, low 30s, your snow-to-water ratios are actually bigger. And so when you do get storm systems in that upper 20s range, that's when you can get these big, heavy snowstorms that wouldn't otherwise happen in low 20s with that drier snow. So And El Nino typically leads us to a warmer than normal winter. But snow-wise, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be less snow than normal by any means whatsoever.
Does will El Nino, how will it affect California's drought?
El Nino has to set up just right for how the onshore pattern is going to happen. So what happens in an El Nino is you usually get a subtropical jet, the polar jet, and you're going to get an onshore flow for California. So if that onshore flow sets up in their drought areas, which is a good portion of the state, but typically it sets up in that L.A. Burbank area, you get that onshore flow, there will be some moisture there. So that should help alleviate that drought depending on where that onshore flow sets up. If that onshore flow is farther south, let's say in the Baja Peninsula area, it won't do anything for California because the onshore flow is not on the state. So again, it's the tendencies that we watch these patterns for where those jet streams set up, and it's a big process we call teleconnection. It's basically how the entire Earth interacts with every little piece of the system, and then it's the luck of the draw to see where that onshore flow sets up. Most of the time when we have El Niños, it does set up in California. That will bring more storm systems there, better chances to get back against that drought.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go, and I meant to ask you, doesn't look like we've been getting many hurricanes this season. Is there anything out there or not?
There's been a couple of weak waves that have come off, but, the one thing right now is you got to have a lot of things come together for hurricanes to form and then hit areas and populated areas. The upper level support, jet stream level, hasn't been very favorable, at least so far up for hurricanes. Hurricanes have to vent. They have to suck in air, and they have to be able to evacuate that air. And it's just not really that conducive yet so far. But we are very early in hurricane season. Obviously, August, September will be the month, so we'll really start watching what's going on in the tropics.
All right, 30 seconds. Are you looking forward to the 80s coming back for a while?
I'm one of those people that I like it for a while, but boy, I'll tell you, I hate being in one air-conditioned building to the next trying to stay cool. But I tell you, it's summer in Wisconsin. We're going in the middle of July. We've got a nice stretch of weather coming up, and just have to be on the lookout for a couple storms at times.
Will do.
Going into the weekend.
Thank you so much, Chad. Have fun at the car show and the Hodag Fest. Chad Franz, and meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Is her